It's very obvious from talking with you and also from listening to the music in the run-up to Son of the Pale Youth.
Mm-hmm.
You're heavily influenced by, like, early, mid-90s American alternative music, like Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, everything like that. Not only do I know that from talking with you, but if you listen to especially American wrestlers, you definitely get that vibe. So how difficult was it for you to go from that to Son of the Pale Youth, which is radically, radically different from pretty much anything you've done over the last few years?
It was quite easy, actually, because I think this was what I was supposed to be doing all the time. And I think if I always feel like there was a potential in all the other stuff I did, which I never realized, and I feel like I'm realizing it now. And it's not really a logical thing, you know. It's not something you work out on paper, and it's more of a thing you feel, and it just feels really right. And I think maybe what I was doing before was everything I've done before, I was doing it because I felt like I had to, in a way. Like, I felt like I was this kind of artificial, laborious layering and stacking and working of orchestrating layers of guitars and finding the right bass sound, which doesn't move the track around too much, and then the right drum sounds, and then lyrics, and all these things I don't really care about, like production values and words, and trying to be original, and thinking about it. And I just didn't want to think about it anymore, because it's just too, it just really gets me down to to just keep working at this thing, which is really not giving me the end result I wanted, I guess. And these are good records. I think there's some good songs on them.
I was just going to say, I mean, you know my opinion of both of your records.
Yeah.
I almost come off as like a super eager super fan. Yeah. But I'm sure I'm not the only person who listened to your self-titled album and Goodbye American Youth and maybe saw you in person and was like, these records are amazing. Like, you know, they sound great.
Yeah.
You know, they give me, like, real intense emotional fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what was your reaction when you hear that type of thing? Did it just kind of not really feel the way you wanted because you didn't feel like the music was fulfilling for you, basically?
Yeah, I never felt like it was, I'd done the right thing, and I can't listen to those records.
Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to the Nuclear Free City stuff for the first time in about 10 years, like a few months back, and it's actually really good. But the American Wrestler stuff, I don't think I've listened to it in, like, since I put it out. And, like, I heard the mix of it when they sent me the mixes back just to check the mix was okay. And then after that, maybe I listened to a couple of songs so I knew what we were doing live. And you're right, it's probably not because I think they're bad. It's just they don't feel like a genuine representation. So it's a bit ugly for me, maybe.
Did that make kind of the... So you released the Goodbye American Youth on Fat
Terrible
Possum.
Youth.
Terrible. Let me rephrase that. Did I say Goodbye American Youth?
Yeah.
I'm gonna edit this out. So you released Goodbye Terrible Youth, I guess, in 2016 on Fat Possum Records, which is a pretty sizable label.
Yeah.
Just like your other album, you were reviewed in Pitchfork. You went on tour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people like me liked it, but I got a sense of talking with you that the actual, like, I'm trying to think of the word outcome, payoff to all of that. It just, beyond just the musical emptiness, just that entire process of putting out an album and promoting it, it just didn't seem terribly fulfilling. Was that the case, or did you find some fulfillment performing these songs and promoting this album?
I like to play live, and I think the band was really good, and really great musicians and really fun to be around, and it was fulfilling to make the music at the time. definitely. But I just never felt, even with anything I've ever done, I've never felt like any part of music, the music industry, is very enjoyable at all or very fulfilling.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know why people say that it is. Hmm. The deeper I got into it or have been getting into it, the more it feels like I've been watching a stage production of an amazing play or musical or something, and I've just started to, like, I've got out of my seat and I'm walking further towards the stage, and then you get through the stage and there's just like sandbags and, like, you know, just like,
so you're watching a performance of yourself. So I'm teasing, but continue.
But like, and the further back you get, like, there's just like more trash and there's just like nothing there. And I don't know why people put forward this artificial idea of what it's like, because the only fulfilling part of it is genuinely, and it sounds cliche, but the only fulfilling part of it is finishing a song or a piece of music which feels right, and that's more of a relief, really. It's more like really working hard at something you're driven to work at and you finally get it right, and there's a relief. And then you feel good for like a couple of days, and then you got to do it again.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about what you're doing now. And it's called Son of the Pale Youth.
Yeah.
You basically decided to, I guess, retire, abandon the American Wrestlers label. Because for our listeners, I mean, you had a live band, mm-hmm. and I guess the live band helped you with the second album, but you write and record most of your music. So that includes guitar, bass, drum, keyboard. So it's kind of similar to Nine Inch Nails or...
I wish.
No. Yeah. There are other one-man bands, so to speak. Five for Fighting, I think, is in the similar... I made that up. But this really was striking. I was telling you before we pressed record, I was listening to these songs while I was driving in the dark. And unlike a lot of music that does sound very processed, mm-hmm. and overly complicated, it really fit the theme of somebody who is immersed in darkness or traveling through darkness or by themselves. I'm going to play the first song off this collection of songs, mm-hmm. a bit redundant, by the way, Black Leaf. So I guess my first question is, how did these songs come about?
Well, I was, I've been working on these two other songs. One was Ignoramus and one was called Devils for American Wrestlers. And they took an awful long time, much longer than usual. Devils, I think I sang every night for 6 months or something stupid. Like just banging my head against a wall with it. And then one day I was listening to the radio, and the guy played a couple of PJ Harvey songs, And I realized she was just playing, like, she was just hammering on one or two chords. And then her letting her voice do all the work. And there wasn't much more to it than that. And it's such a simple thing. But I, like, it reminded me of what I should have been doing. The right thing to do was just to forget about all this. I was thinking about music in the wrong way. And so I went home and I set up a microphone and I plugged a guitar in and I pressed record. And I improvised, like, over a couple of nights, I improvised like 14 songs or 14 song ideas.
And that was it like in a home recording studio or was it an electric guitar? Like, what sort of equipment did you use for this?
Just straight into a laptop with a EVRE20 mic.
Yeah.
And then just a Stratocaster into, just straight in. Mm. And just put a plate reverb on it, on both, which is what you hear on the recording. So...
And you didn't write these songs ahead of time? You just started playing and singing? Or did you have some thought before you recorded all this?
No thought. And I think, and I've come to realize that thought is the enemy of art. Thought is the very enemy of art. And it's good for, like, politics. But you should just avoid it if you're trying to do something creative. It only gets in the way. I really started to believe that.
Yeah. So did you record all of these in like one sitting, or did you do it over a couple of nights, basically?
I went away and I, at first I wasn't going to put any words on them, because I can sing and like make it sound like I'm singing words. Mm. And I thought, well, maybe that'll do as they are. And, but it wasn't quite working. So I had to corrupt them and put words on them. And so that took me a little while to try to work out some words that didn't make me feel too uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And you know, nothing that really meant anything directly at all. And then I came back and I recorded the songs that you can hear for this record, I guess you'd call it, over like a weekend.
Mm-hmm. And how did you, we talked about the fulfillment of and the lack of fulfillment, mm-hmm, with the other music. I take it you felt very much differently about these songs. If so, explain why.
Well, I can listen to them. I can listen to these songs, and I don't know why. Why?
Is it just the? I mean, one of the reasons this is so interesting is you. Those other two songs you sent me, mm-hmm, "Devils" and "Ignoramus," were enormously complex songs, yeah, and they were great. I love them.
They're good. They're really good songs, actually. I think they might be the two best wrestlers, yeah, ones.
So. But this is so like sparse and lacks complexity, mm, that, as I kind of mentioned before, it kind of hits an emotional chord in people that listen to it.
Yeah.
That it kind of like it creates this light bulb in your head. You don't like you said, you don't really need all this production and all these instruments if all you're trying to do is connect with people. Yeah. You can do it in this kind of simplistic way. And I'm saying simplistic, not as a pejorative.
No, I know.
But that must have been part of your decision-making on this, I would think, as far as how to produce this music. Is that fair? Is that,
yeah,
a fair assumption?
It is. And, yeah, I was going to say something.
Oh, I can edit this part out too.
No, go on.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Well, let's hear another song from another clip from this. Do you call it an album? Do you call it a record? Like, what do you call this?
I don't know. Do people
a satchel of songs?
A satchel, a bag of songs. Yeah,
a bag
like
of songs.
A rucksack of.
A rock sack of
like a carrier bag, like a book bag.
A book bag,
like a haversack.
We are making history.
Cut
right now.
Yeah.
This is Age of Reason.
I hope that every time
in the Age of Reason, by the way.
Yeah, that's what it's about. Yeah.
Because from talking with you before, I think you're definitely into things like politics and also kind of observing America and what it's become.
They'll crucify me for this. Don't make me talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. I am a political reporter, so I have to stay up in line. Because a lot of your other music, it kind of dealt with relationships. It dealt with kind of the dread and excitement of not being super young anymore. Hence, Goodbye Terrible Youth. It did kind of touch kind of on political elements a little bit, and it kind of felt like something like this is kind of hinting around the peripheral without being so overt that it's almost like Hail to the Thief era political commentary. And by the way, for listeners who don't know what Hail to the Thief was, that was Radiohead's 2003 album that was very much overtly against George W. Bush. Actually, one of my favorite Radiohead albums. A lot of people really dislike it, but I'm kind of getting off on a side. Yeah. Did politics have anything to do with kind of not only how the lyrics came about on this, but just how some of the musical composition was? Or was that completely by the wayside?
Oh, I try to avoid it as much as I can.
Yeah.
At this time around, I just, like I said, just avoid thinking about anything. But listening to that song, it does sound an awful lot like there's some social commentary in there.
Is it just basically you're telling somebody, like, you're living in a weird time, embrace it while you can, because things are going to get a lot worse?
I don't know.
Yeah, I might be reading into this a little too deeply. But I mean, just the title and again, kind of the composition of like how your lyrics are going, it's kind of like you're telling somebody, maybe a child, maybe your wife, maybe me, something.
The trick is to write something and deliver something that sounds like you mean something.
Yeah.
Enough for the listener to take away from it what they want, but not too much that it undermines their freedom to, their own, to apply to it their own personal feelings.
Yeah.
So I guess I really don't know what it's about, genuinely.
Well, I told you before, and this will be the last political question, I promise. Mm-hmm. I listen to songs like Vote Thatcher, even Give Up on Goodbye Terrible Youth, and even though this was music created in 2016, I don't think you were meaning to do this. I associate a lot of those songs with my experience covering the Ferguson unrest, maybe not only because of the sound, but just also just the hopeless desperation in a lot of this. So again, you weren't meaning to do that, but as a listener, I kind of like infuse that with memories of other things. And going back to this music, it seems like because of its simplicity, the listener can make those same connections to a lot of different things and kind of attach it to their own experiences. I know we're getting into very wonky, esoteric territory here, but I think that's why this is so appealing in many respects. And by this, I mean Son of the Pale Youth. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, I'm sure there are... I'm sure that whatever information I'm taking in socially and politically, which I can't help but take in, is coming out in the words I choose somehow. But not, I don't mean to. And I don't, like, I think it gets a bit, I think when you try to do that deliberately, it gets a bit, it just gets a bit cheesy or something.
Well, let's talk about your voice here. Because in your other music, you could tell, like, your voice was there, but it was kind of surrounded by all this other music. I don't want to say noise, because I really like it, but it kind of was a part and parcel with a complete package. In this music, your voice is basically the main attraction, and the backing music is kind of a way to, I don't know, exemplify or kind of make your voice more prominent.
Right.
How comfortable were you doing that? I'm interested to hear, like, about that decision, because if you haven't done that before on a super regular basis, that could be kind of going out of your comfort zone. But what went through that decision making to make your voice really prominent?
Well, usually I would layer three. Usually I would layer three or four different takes of vocals on top of each other and get them exactly the same. And then you kind of bury three of them and you keep one prominent, and it makes it sound, it's supposed to like support it. Mm. And I always wanted to do that, and I hated hearing my voice just as a single take. But something happened with this breakthrough moment I had on these two nights. It just felt so right, and I was free. I was even free from like a metronome or any other supporting thing, and it was just me and the guitar, and I sang, and it just felt really right. And I listened back and it sounded great, and I don't know why. It wasn't really a conscious thing, you know.
You do realize you have a really excellent voice.
I guess so. I started off like I wanted to be a guitarist, and I always thought I'd just be a guitarist. And like, I think I tried singing a few times, and I didn't really have the confidence. I thought, well, it's not really for me. And then after a few Nuclear Free City albums, I did a bit more. And then I started to fall into it. I think I fell into it late. And this record's really, I really kind of opened up and feel more comfortable about it. Maybe it's just because the time's running out. You know, there's not enough time to get enough stuff done.
Yeah.
I want to make another 50 albums, you know.
Well, that is ambitious. So you're going to be making albums when you're like 130 and
learn? No, I plan to do like three or four this year,
yeah.
I think. I mean, if I can do them this fast, why not?
In the similar style of this, basically.
Sure, until I get really sick of it, and then I might switch to an acoustic guitar or something.
Well,
liven it up a bit.
Or a bassoon.
Yeah, man.
Bassoon rock. Well, this is another song off your satchel book bag of tunes.
Haversack.
It's called. Let me make sure I get this right. This song is called Fortune Industry. So is this about like the trappings and elusiveness of fame? I know we've talked about how like a lot of these songs don't have like an inherent meaning, but when you have a title like Fortune/Industry, mm-hmm. that I guess that's the first thing that came to my mind. And when I hear some of the lyrics to that, mm-hmm. it may seem like a subtle commentary on the uncomfortableness of exposure and fame in your line of work.
I almost don't want to tell you that's like a demo, and apart from the first couple of lines, the rest of that's improvised.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, yeah, and I was going to change a few of those words, and I think there's actually a few things in there which aren't even words.
Really?
Maybe they just sound like words.
Do you do that a lot? Like, yeah. Okay, I've wanted to ask you this question for a while. So there's a part in Give Up near mm-hmm. the connection of the second verse and the second chorus where you scream out a bunch of stuff. Yeah. It's not written in the actual liner notes. Is that just you basically saying nonsense, or are there actual words there?
Yeah, it's not. Usually there's nonsense.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah.
So is that a similar sentiment to like what you do here sometimes? Like you say stuff that sounds really good, but may not even be words or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe there's that moment you're talking about is like that's when I feel like that's what I'm supposed to be doing. So, like even words feel like it's kind of tying me down. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because it's. Yeah, I feel more like when I do the demo, I feel freer than when I have to sit down and construct all these words, which I mean, some of them are pretty good. And then come back and redo it. I always think like the re-recorded version with ends up not sounding as good as the demo does.
So are you thinking that the songs in the first crop of Son of the Pale Youth, you're not going to re-record them? These are just going to kind of be as is? Or are you thinking of possibly re-recording them?
I don't know. I think I'm going to re-record a couple of them. I already tried re-recording some of them, and they didn't sound as good because there was like really good takes there. There's a couple which don't have words at all, really. So, I already re-recorded one, and that's a better take. It depends, because I'm talking to a couple of labels, and if they want a re-recorded one, then they can have it, because it's their product, you know.
Yeah.
And this will always still be able to listenable. You know what I mean?
So, like, I don't want to get too intricate in the music business as we just did, but like, how do you sent this music to me via email? Yeah. You can't obviously send this to everybody who wants to listen to you. So how do you get this out to people that have listened to you for the past few years? Do you like partner with a major label again? Do you kind of just put it out on SoundCloud for free? Do you like go in the street and just play it on a corner somewhere? Like, how do you like propel this out to people in a way that they can listen to it in a satisfying way without kind of going through the rigmarole that we talked about earlier that can be very frustrating?
All of those things.
Yeah.
You can't avoid the rigmarole, which is frustrating.
Yeah.
No. You have to do all those things and more. And, you know, tour it as much as you can. Mm. The more touring you can do, the better.
Yeah. Are you going to just be by yourself on stage, or do you think you'll have a backing band? I mean, I'm not really sure what other people will play. Maybe, again, the bassoon or something. But is it just going to be you this time?
I think so.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I feel really good about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved playing with the band, and I felt great about that, but this works too.
If there was one thing you would want listeners to feel from this new music, what would it be?
It's very sad. Yeah. There's a lot of space that they can be miserable in, you know, like wistful. I'm kind of being flippant, but...
I know you're being flippant, but it's not too far from the truth. Like, again, I don't want to get too political here, but a lot of people are suffering through anxiety about the times that we live in. So I don't want to say that this music is like the soundtrack of our lives, but I think a lot of people feel this way, separating it from politics, just the way life is right now.
Well, that's the whole point, isn't it?
I mean,
it's... art succeeds where words fail, I guess. Did someone say that? Did I just say that? Someone said that.
I don't know. It sounds good, though.
It does sound good. But it's true. And there's, like, so many words around right now. It's just... my favorite thing I read about the internet recently was someone said, if you put an infinite number of monkeys with an infinite number of typewriters, eventually they'll produce the great works of Shakespeare. Unfortunately, I feel like I'm reading all the times they didn't.
I think
there's like so much information out there, and I still think that the English languages are all languages flawed. Mm-hmm. And where it fails, you need art, and hopefully it'll make some people feel better.
My only other question, this is more for my own edification. So why did you decide to go from American Wrestlers to Son of the Pale Youth? Was it just a way of opening a new chapter and not necessarily like associating a completely different sound from the American Wrestler sound with this? Or was it, what was your thinking in that? Because I guess it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's kind of the same idea. I guess it's just semantics, I suppose. But like,
it just felt really different.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mean the name?
The name,
changing
yeah.
The name.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt really different. And yeah, it's a different thing. And it's not a band. And it's nice to start again, I think. And also, like, just to, like, get rid of the people who actually genuinely like American Wrestlers and not the band, mm-hmm. who would turn up at the shows and try to fight.
Fight?
Yeah.
You think there'll be fights? Do you think somebody will try to hit each other with Stone Cold Stunners?
They used to show up at shows and do that, yeah.
Really?
No,
I didn't think so. I think this is a digression again, but I'm a big pro wrestling fan, so maybe that was one of the reasons I was drawn to your music, just because I was hoping to have some reference to the Macho Man or anything like that.
I don't know if American Wrestlers would fit this music, would it?
No, it wouldn't. They're totally different. Yeah. But how did you come up with the name Son of the Pale Youth? Beyond the fact that, you know, both of us talking here are very pale people, but like, what was the thought process of that name?
It's what my surname means.
Oh,
apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
McClure.
Apparently, yeah.
Son of the Pale Youth. Apparently, Rosenbaum means rose tree.
Does it?
Yeah, and I went to Portland once, and I stood next to a rose tree. I'm like, there I am. It's not as meaningful as that.
Yeah, there was some dude in Scotland a long time ago who was. He was like the assistant to a psychic fortune teller guy who they put. He was called the Seer of Brahan, and they put him in a barrel and they boiled him alive or set him on fire.
Oh, man.
And his assistant was the Pale Youth, of which the first McClure was the son of.
Wow.
Yeah.
They boiled people alive in barrels back then.
Yeah, because he made some prediction about. Some woman's husband being an adulterer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we had all wacky stories in Ukraine and Poland, where I'm from, so I can't really judge. Anything else you'd like to add?